Hello, and welcome to Uncluttered, a podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint that we leave the chaos and the clutter behind in our lives. I'm Leanna George, an author and professional former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas.
And I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and your home so you can focus on what matters most? If so, let's dive in. So we are so excited to have this guest on our podcast, Kelly Miller. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Uncluttered Podcast. We have invited you here today because you are such a great example of a success story.
Thank you.
So thanks for being here. You have been able to work through some challenges and make some long-lasting changes in your life with decluttering and organizing. Mm-hmm. You've had challenges, and it hasn't been easy, but I know our listeners are going to be able to relate to your challenges and be inspired by your success. So thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. I'm not sure I can live up to that buildup, Angie, but hopefully I can share a few things from my experience that may help somebody else.
I know you're going to. All right. So before we get into the nitty gritty of decluttering and organizing, first, just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, your occupation, your hobbies, that kind of thing.
Sure. I'll be glad to do that. Well, as Angie shared, my name is Kelly Miller. And by training, I'm an industrial engineer, kind of an efficiency and effectiveness expert. That's what I did for most of my time as a practicing engineer. I still work part-time doing some of that. I also have been a full-time mother of three children during that time, blessed with three precious little ones at one point who are now big ones now. I have three young adult children, two boys and a girl, and love to still spend time with them. And then my other part-time job that I've had for almost the entirety of my adult life as well is working as a fitness instructor. So I still also do that and teach fitness classes at various studios and gyms in the area. And I guess the only thing I didn't mention, I have an amazingly wonderful husband. My husband, David, he and I have been married over 34 years. And he is my encourager. He just keeps me standing, picks me up when I fall down. He's awesome. I'm very undeserving of such a wonderful husband. I got promoted this year to also have the category of grandmother. So I'm now a grandmother, have a sweet, sweet grandson who's almost 6 months old. And that's been, I guess, my latest hobby is grandmothering. So, and probably one of my very absolute favorite ones so far. So hobbies, I love fitness. I definitely absolutely love spending time with our little guy. And I also enjoy boating. We live on the water. So we spend a lot of time on the water when the weather's not January. I also enjoy doing some calligraphy and hand lettering. I like to decorate. And then I'm sort of a self-improvement fanatic, which is ultimately kind of how I landed working with Angie. So that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. You know, you sound like you'd be a perfect candidate for Wheel of Fortune, you know, when they go and they introduce themselves. You don't have to spell or you know anything for be here today. So thank you though.
Yes. Hopefully so.
Well, now that we know a little bit about you, which is great, because I didn't, because obviously I'm in Texas, y'all are in Tennessee.
Sure.
You know, we were looking for some people and you volunteered and we appreciate that so very much. Mm-hmm. So it's really good for me to get to know who we're talking to a little bit. But since this is a podcast about faith and organizing, can you share a little bit about your faith story with us before we get into the nitty gritty of organizing stuff?
Yes, absolutely. That's the most important of all, without a doubt. I was very fortunate to be raised in a Christian family. So I grew up with people modeling for me, knowing Christ, and I came to know Christ myself with my own personal decision. When I was in elementary school, I was around about 8 years old. And then as the years have passed since then, I would say the older I get, the more and more and more I have come to lean on Christ. especially in those difficulties and challenges of life, but also in the great times and the celebratory times of life. I am extremely thankful that I've had many occasions over my life now where I really feel Jesus with me in a very tangible way. And so that's kind of my goal as I get older, is to have my eyes open and my ears listening so that I don't miss those times when he is speaking to me and when he's walking right beside me and when he's encouraging me. And I try to do what I can to help show that to others and to help pass that on. And I guess the other thing I would want to share as part of my faith story, I have many, many favorite Bible verses, but I think my most favorite of all, and it's an oldie and a goodie, but Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I remind myself of that very regularly when I'm discouraged or when I'm facing something that I just think is insurmountable, that I can't do it, but with Christ's strength within me, we can do it together.
That's fantastic. Great. Yes. All right. So Kelly, for our listeners, tell us about how you found me as an organizer and us as podcasters.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I had known of Angie for a number of years because we kind of volunteered in some similar circles as we had children that were somewhat similar ages and went to the same schools. So I actually had volunteered more, I guess, with Eric in some roles, maybe when our kids were in middle school. So I knew who Angie was. But then in a volunteer capacity at some point, I was helping with a local organization that I volunteered with, and I was helping with a silent auction. And since I was helping organize it, I felt very much that I should be bidding on those items and helping drive the prices up to raise money for the charity. So I went looking for which items would be the most helpful to me or could be gifts for loved ones. And that's when I found Angie, which interestingly enough was right around the time you were starting your business, Shipshape. And so I saw that she had a silent auction item, some time to work with her as a professional organizer. And that's something that has just kind of been a challenge for me for many years. And it's just the weirdest thing, because as an industrial engineer, years ago, I felt like I was very organized and things were totally under control in my home. I can even remember times when people would come to my house and say, "It doesn't look like anybody lives here. Do you all really live here?" Well, then I was blessed with one child, and then a couple years later with another child, and then less than 2 years later with another child. So when we had three children under five, things were not that way in my home anymore. And so kind of lost control there for a while. And that had been a real frustration for me because I wanted it to be the way it was before, but it just kind of seemed impossible to get there. So when I saw Angie's auction, I bid, and I think I bid a few times because I was really hoping to win that one. So I did. So I was super excited. And at least I knew her name. So I knew enough about her to know, yes, I think this would be a great experience. So that's kind of how I found Shipshape.
Yes. So yeah, we go way back as far as working together, and Kelly has definitely been hands above, just one of the best clients I've ever had. And I've just been so inspired by her determination, by her willingness to learn, to put things into practice immediately. She, you know, I do teaching while we're working together, but I'll also share, you know, you might like this podcast or this book or this resource, and she eats all that up too. And she'll even say, "I'm using the Dana Kai White technique right now of doing that," or "I'm using the Lisa Woodruff this. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been such an honor to be along with you on this journey of decluttering and organizing. And I think when Leanna and I started the podcast, of course I shared that with Kelly, and you know, she's been a loyal listener. So it's been great to just go through this with you.
I feel the same way, 100%.
Okay, so now listening to you, I just have to wonder what caused you to want to sign up? What was your struggle organizing wise? You know, was it physical, schedule, attention? You know, what was it that made you want to bid on that that prize so much that you could have Angie come into your house? And then can you give us some examples of how the clutter affected you, whichever one it was?
Yes, absolutely. For me, Leanna, it was 100% physical. Like I said, I have always been a pretty organized, detail-oriented person, closure-oriented person, decision maker. And so I do a lot of things. So from the standpoint of splitting my efforts, there have been some schedule challenges over the year, but I was never one to miss deadlines or can't find my children's permission slips or those types of things. So schedule and attention were not by any means my biggest challenge. For me, it was physical. And I think a lot of the reason for that was, like I said, with being blessed with three children, very close in age, all of a sudden there was this explosion of stuff in our home that you think you need when you have little ones, and some of it you do need, but certainly there was more than we needed. And through most of that time, I was still working, at least in a part-time capacity. So there just didn't seem to be enough time to do all the things I wanted to do in mothering and caring for my children and working some and volunteering and managing my home to the point I wanted it to. So how it affected me, I would say multiplied my frustration levels, diminished my patience levels, and increased my stress levels. And certainly gave me some issues just with how I felt about myself, of feeling, I should be able to manage all of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm managing some of it well, but that was important to me. And I just felt like I wasn't managing it well.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And just know that you are not alone. We hear that.
Absolutely.
A lot from other people, but thank you for being open and honest with us. So I'm here today.
Yeah. So is there a moment or an incident where you feel like all of a sudden you realized, okay, I have got to get help? So there's some kind of tipping point in order to get this under control. I've got to reach out to someone beyond me.
I would say there were really kind of two, Angie. And the first one led me to make some changes and do some things myself. And that was when we moved homes. We moved when actually all three of our children were preschoolers, and we got the grand idea to build a house then. And so we moved from a house to a 2-bedroom apartment, which was somewhat mild insanity when you're used to living in a little bit larger space. And we had three very young children and lots of stuff. So that was the first one. And so when we finished our house and we moved in here, I did tons of things to get rid of many of those items that we no longer needed because we had completed our family. So I made a lot of progress then. But then over the years, even as the children got older, there still was more stuff and more stuff. And so I would say the second tipping point was when I had two close relatives who passed. It was my grandmother and my aunt, that two dear people that I loved, that I grew up with, spending a lot of time with. And I offered to help my parents deal with their estate. And it was a fairly small house, but it was a very, very full house. And so I managed that estate sale. And through going through that experience and just seeing, they had lived in their home for probably close to 60 years and had not had children in the home, which I do feel like having children kind of forces us to kind of do some purging and getting rid of. So there hadn't been that there. So it was just lots and lots of stuff. And so as I drove home from that experience, I was just like, oh my goodness. Huh. I don't want to ever get to that point. Mm-hmm. And so I need to start taking action now. So those were probably my two tipping points.
Yeah. And I definitely remember we talked about that several times through there. Like, I do not want to leave this for someone else. And it's such a great motivation.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So other than hiring Angie, have you tried anything else to help you declutter and organize? You know, and what did you do? And did it work? Did it not work? What happened with that?
I would say some of it worked to varying degrees and some of it did not work at all. So what did not work at all is buying probably 20 books on organizing. Angie has seen some of those when she's been at my house. And I'm very proud to say in the last about 4 months, I have gotten rid of, I think it's like 367 books or something now.
Oh, wow.
Which has been insanely hard to do as a person who loves to learn. And my husband and I both read a lot, but we're just like, okay, we're there. We've got to shed some of this. But that was one of the things, and not to say those are not helpful. Many of them were helpful, but I sort of overdid on that. So I would say some of the things I tried that were helpful were, back in the day, it wasn't really podcasts, but we did have the internet. So I followed some people who were professional organizers and had some methods they suggested and techniques. And so I did find varying degrees of success with some of those. I would say that probably the biggest aha light bulb moment for me came when I switched from thinking, I just need to be better organized, which for many years, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I just need to get all this stuff in cute little bins and baskets mm-hmm. and have it labeled and everything looks beautiful, to realizing I need to not have a great amount of this stuff. It just needs to go away. And I believe that may be, I'm not sure if it's one of Dana White's quotes, but
yes,
it's
the clutter threshold.
Yeah. Yes. And just that you can't organize clutter. You can only mm-hmm. get rid of it. And so that has kind of become a mantra for me that, okay, Kelly, it's not just you need to organize better. It's that you need to have less to organize. Yes, mm-hmm. it does need to be organized, but when there's 5 times as much stuff as I need, I'll never be able to get it organized. Yeah, so that mentality shift really helped me a lot.
I think that is just gold right there. That that realization and then just continuing to remind yourself of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I love that you tried different things because, you know, and didn't let that stop you when you didn't find success with one thing. Because for a lot of people, they will try something. And then when it doesn't work, they're like, oh, that's it. I can never be organized. Right. Mm-hmm. And they give up. And so kudos to you for not letting that stop you, on the journey.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Kelly is definitely tenacious.
Yeah.
Thank you, Angie.
Yeah.
Well, Angie's been a great encouragement along the way. I mean, just huge encouragement. And I will say it helped a lot to have somebody kind of digging into that with me on sometimes when you just look at a stack or a pile and you're just like, oh, so overwhelmed. But if I knew I had an appointment with Angie, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to work on it and we're going to make progress. And it just made it less unpleasant than just digging through it all by myself. And she always had great suggestions and the things I did need to keep. Like, for example, we have a lot of life jackets at our house because we live on the water and we boat a lot, but I never had a great way for organizing those. So that was one of those things. I couldn't just get rid of our 15 life jackets. I needed to have them. And Angie came up with a great solution that still works for me perfectly. I mean, I've used it for many years now and I'm like, why didn't I do that before? But I just never really stopped and thought about it. And so it's worked very well.
Well, I love what you just said, works for me. We have said time and time again on this podcast, don't try to emulate what you see on TV, on Pinterest, in magazines.
Right.
Find this organizing system that works for you. And I'm really glad that you found that with Angie. Even though I don't do organizing anymore, I still believe strongly in the value of hiring an organizer to come in and work alongside you. It really does make a huge difference.
Right.
Absolutely.
It definitely does. And just so our listeners know, in case you're thinking, oh, I'm going to call Leanna and Angie because they are obviously trying to get new clients. well, Leanna's in Houston. She's a former organizer. I still associate myself as an organizer, but I'm not working with clients. I am just doing writing, speaking, and podcasting. I can refer, I can give you suggestions for people in the area, and I'm sure Leanna can as well. But just know that we share this to inspire you, not to try to get your business as clients. So I just wanted to make
sure. Well, and the other thing too is this is airing at the end of January. By now, people are 3 weeks into their New Year's resolutions, and they're like, you know, putting their hands up, you know, that's it, I cannot do this. You know, either I have to do something or I'm going to live with this, keep living with this clutter.
Yes.
And so if you're at that point right now and you're listening to this podcast, you know, we want to tell you don't give up. Maybe you need to look into finding a professional organizer where you live.
Yes. And as Kelly said, it's very likely that you need a lot less stuff.
Yes.
Not necessarily more containers and ways to distribute them and stuff shift through your house. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Kelly, you shared about a moment when you realized, okay, I've got to get some help, those tipping points. So I want to do something similar, but on the other end of things, can you remember a moment when you started realizing, you know, this is actually starting to work and I have hope. I really feel like I am going to be able to get on track with my goals for organizing and decluttering. I'm going to be able to have that organized, abundant life that I've been working for so long.
Yes, I would say I feel that every time that I have a carload of stuff that leaves my house. And lots of times still I'll snap a picture of it and send it to Angie and say, woohoo.
Yeah, but sometimes she counts bags, counts items.
Yes,
it's so inspiring.
Yes. And I shared with you my book measure, which is, I didn't even know we had that many books, but you know, when you say there've been five people living in this house and most of us are avid readers, learners, all that, that's what you collect. So I did go through a time even last winter when I was working really hard on this, that I was kind of counting items. Now I wasn't counting every single item. I mean, I would count, you know, a group of something, but it just was an inspiration to me to know I'm really doing this. And so when I got up to around 700 items, I'm like, okay, good enough. Yes. Things are moving in the right direction. So every time that I feel like there's one of those, and I wouldn't even really call it a small success. I mean, I would call it in my book, it's a large success. When I can look in my car and I say, wow, the back end of this SUV is full. And these are all things that are leaving my home that hopefully can benefit someone else, whether they're going to a charity or to a consignment shop or wherever they're going for their next life. But that, every time that happens, I feel the way you're describing. I feel like, yes, I can do this because I'm doing it. It's happening.
Another thing I love about that, Kelly, is that you realize it and are making it a constant practice.
Yeah,
that you're absolutely. Not just like, you know, okay, I worked with Angie for this amount of time and I got rid of a bunch of stuff. Okay, so now I'm good. But you see how the pattern is that we constantly bring things in our home. And so if we're not getting rid of the things that we're not using, then it's just going to happen again. I mean, even Eric and I, we did this big downsize, you know, we got rid of 75% of our things to move in this small loft. But I would say once every 2 weeks or so, I take a load. Now it's not necessarily the whole car load, but you know, it's that continuous decluttering every time there's something in your home you don't love and use. So that has been just a huge part of your success that you just keep at it. It has become a lifestyle for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly right, Angie. That's what I was going to say. It's not just a one and done thing for you. It's Kelly. It sounds like it's more of a lifestyle that you have just learned to ingrain into your everyday life. That you know in your mind, it's always present, you know. And it's not like you go, oh, I did that last year, I'm good. And, you know, check off that box. But you just seem to keep going for it every time.
Yes, absolutely. And what I've kind of done is, as I move into each different phase of life, I kind of target a different area where I need to do that. So when my kids got to high school, I wanted to be sure all those things that are no longer needed from when they were younger I'm moving those on. Same thing when they went to college and then kind of empty nest. And I mean, as you all probably have experienced too, during that college time, they're kind of in and out and in and out. And it's really just been for our family in the last year that everybody is fully launched now. So I can't really make the excuse anymore. Well, they might need that that's right. in their room or in their closet. So I'm still working through that because our youngest daughter just got married actually about 3 weeks ago, which was a wonderful, joyous occasion for us. So she was with us for just a few weeks prior to that. And so now I'm back at yet another new stage where I can say, okay, now it's really just us and the dog. And so yet again, kind of are doing a refresh on that. And so right. that's where I am right now.
Well, I love that. And I hope that that inspires somebody to know that, you know, you've been on this journey, not just since January 1, right, of the, you know, previous year. This has been something that's, you know, you've been working on for a while now.
And absolutely. So, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, since you've been on this journey for so long, and that's not to say that you're a clever person, that's not what I meant, but I'm thinking to myself, what scriptures, you mentioned your favorite scripture when we first started, but you know, were there any scriptures as you've been going on this journey that have inspired you or, you know, just helped you get through the difficult moments?
Yes, absolutely. And I've written down several and hopefully I won't misquote them or match them up with the wrong source, but there are several. And having read Angie's book too, I know you share a lot of these in there, Angie, that are some of my favorite ones also. But one of the ones that has kind of inspired me is from 1 Corinthians 14, which is God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Mm-hmm. And I think that can mean many, many different things. But right. to me, when I get discouraged, I can say, hey, this is worth it for me to do this. Because while all these different little things, I might say, it's not worth my time to sort through that. If that's something that's going to give me more peace in my life, hopefully I'm going to then bless others with more peace too, by being a more peaceful person myself. So that's one that I remind myself is shed the chaos in favor of peace. Another one that has been an encouragement to me is the Ecclesiastes verse that I think is probably a very familiar one from Ecclesiastes. I believe it's chapter 3. And there are two verses in there specifically, and I'm going to pull them up so I read them right. It's a whole passage, but to me, verse 1 and verse 6 are the two that really speak to me. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. That's verse 1. And then verse 6, and a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just kind of amazing that that's in the Bible. But that first one totally speaks to what I was talking about earlier about all the different seasons of life. And I think it can be very tempting to want to hold on to that season. And some little pieces of that we do.
Yeah.
I kept a pair of shoes that were my boys' shoes when they were little. And now my grandson wore those for his.
Oh, how sweet.
And that's very special. But yeah. I don't keep every pair of shoes that they ever wore. So it's kind of that, it's okay to hang on to some special things from those seasons. But recognizing when I'm in a new season, it's like both of you all have said, there are things I'm going to accumulate in this new season of life. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can have space for those in my life is to let go of all those from that past season. So that's where I feel like that verse 6 kind of even gives us permission to give up some of those things and gives us permission to keep some things. But it does say there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. And I'm kind of a sustainability person. I used to work in sustainability. That's a huge thing to me. So I'm not huge on the throwaway. You will find I'm more of a person who donates, who repurposes, who recycles, who sells it at a thrift shop or whatever. I hate to just put it in the trash. But to me, that's kind of what that verse says is it's a time for me to cast off some things to make space in my life for what God has for me in that next season.
Those are one of my favorites too.
I love that. That's fantastic. As far as the podcast, you have been just a loyal podcast listener. Can you remember an episode that has really spoken to you?
Oh, absolutely. There are several. It was hard to get it down to just one. So I think I've probably got two.
Yeah,
one of the ones I really loved was the resource roundup that you all did. I think it was episode 11, if I wrote that one down correctly. I thought that one was great. And I've gone back to it multiple times when I'm having a certain challenge, or I travel a lot. And so I like to listen to other podcasts or listen to books on tape. And so I will go to that when I know I'm going to have some time in my life to listen to something. And I want to find something encouraging, but I want to know that it's good. So you all have already kind of curated it for me. So that one was really helpful. Another one that was helpful for me was, I think, a more recent one that you did on creating margin in your life. And I didn't write down the actual episode name of that, but that was the, or episode number, but that was the one that focused on Luke 10 as kind of the passage, which is talking about Mary and Martha. And yes, I'm maybe a closet Martha hater. You know, I don't really hate. Yeah. But I'm like, hey, Martha served a purpose. Without Martha, maybe everybody would have been enjoying that time at his feet, but they would have all been hungry.
Absolutely.
There's a purpose for us Marthas of the world too, but I need to have a little more Mary. So I'm always challenged with creating margin in my life. I had a meeting right before this and I stacked it up right up next to this meeting because I'm trying to get all these things done and be ready for something I'm leading tomorrow. So that's always a challenge for me. So that one was a very helpful episode for me too.
Okay, great.
Oh, and I have one other one, Angie. And this one's not an episode, but it was one of the articles, and I found it through you all, but it was the one on Choose Your Hard. Maybe it was blog.
It was originally an article in the paper that I wrote, but we used it for our blog. It's one of my favorite articles I've written.
I love that one. I mean, that's probably gonna be something I write and put on one of my little index cards that I actually put them up on the back of my door with a little magnet. So I see it every time I go in and out, but I think that one is just excellent on making us realize when I sit here and go, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sort through all those books. That's so hard. Well, it's also hard when I'm looking for that book I really want, but I've got 100 books that I'm not using and then I can't find it. So it's, choose your hard. All of those things are hard. We face many challenges in life, and it's just make a judicious choice about which hard I want. I thought that was a great article.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, you'll find that on our blog, which is on our website, which is uncluttered.faith. So
great. Thanks. Well, you have been such a delightful guest, and we unfortunately have to wrap it up. Thank you for coming on. But before you leave us, what are one or two pieces of advice that you would give our listeners today?
Okay. I jotted those down. Just some quickies. One is use thrift stores or consignment shops as your storage closets. That one's been a learning for me. I don't have to keep everything. They can keep it for me and I can go get it very inexpensively when I need it. Be excited when you have a need for something you've given away. I didn't used to feel that way. That has happened to me more than once now. And instead of saying, oh, darn, I should have kept that, I say, oh, hooray, I let that go. That's okay. That meant that I'm making progress. And I guess the last one would be shop less. I have always enjoyed shopping. I still do. But I've made many, many changes in that, and becoming a grandmother has helped because I'd much rather spend some time with my grandson than walk through the aisles of a store. But something I adopted is when I see something that I say, oh, I really love that, I don't put it in my buggy and I go ahead and I do the rest of my shopping. And then if I remember at the end of my shopping trip, oh yes, I still really love that, then I go back and get it. And so it's kind of, if I'm not willing to take the time to walk across the store and get it, then that's my sign. Yes, I didn't really need to get that to start with. So that has helped me a lot.
I love that tip. And that I have shared that Kelly Miller tip. I think it's in my book and in an article too. So it's a great
one. I think we shared it in a podcast that last in,
I think, you know, we back did.
In, yep, in December too. So yes, you're making all the rounds.
Yes.
Hooray. I hope it helps.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly. I just know that our listeners are going to love this episode. You have just been so great at sharing your heart, just being very open about your struggles and sharing what hasn't worked, what has worked. Just such a treasure. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Very much enjoyed the time with both of you.
Thank you.
And appreciate what you all do to encourage.
Oh, thank you,
Kelly. And so, listener, anyone,
if there's anyone listening who wants to come in and sit down with us as Kelly has today, we would love to do that. We're going to highlight one other listener this season, and that could be you if you're listening. So if so, you can email us at contact@uncluttered.faith.
Yes.
And we will get all the information to you about how to apply.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you so much for joining us, listeners. And remember, until next time, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.